Halfway There Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Hartman, with my co-host, Brian Holloway. Brian, what have you thought about these last couple weeks on Wednesday nights?
Well, I've loved it. I've loved the Fear series. I think that we're making them think about everyday life because this is, you know, control, unknown. I'm hoping they're getting it. If they're not, they need to look back on these and, you know, learn and read scripture and stuff. And things like this just make your life a whole lot easier.
Yeah. I've been really encouraged just watching kind of our students interact with this material and looking through and thinking through some of this. You know, the whole heart behind this series was about helping them see the character of God in ways that they may not have before. And so it's been really encouraging to watch, you know, middle schoolers and high schoolers kind of wrestle with some of this stuff and hopefully let go of some of these fears in their lives as they kind of pursue a deeper relationship with the Lord. So it's been really encouraging to me. It's been fun to teach. This has been one of my favorite series in a while. And I think I texted you a couple weeks ago and said, hey, this is going to be a top three series. So, or maybe I texted James and said that because it's just, he said he was using it for a devotion or something. So I'm glad because it's I think it's a really good series.
It is. It is just basically saying, you know, God always tells us, give me your burdens, give me your fears. You know, we've got a God that's willing to take those from us, that we don't have to endure that, you know, and that's just an awesome thing. That's joy right there, that we can let him take care of it in control. And then our fears and stuff, we don't have to worry about because it drags you down when you're fearing something or, you know, the unknown control. Or any of this, it will drag you down. If you think about it, anxiety and stuff like that, you'll start dwelling on it. But, you know, I've always said it's kind of like if you had two suitcases and you're carrying around your problems in those suitcases, well, you keep adding more and those are going to keep getting heavier and heavier to a point where you can't carry them around anymore. But God says, hey, let me carry those for you. Let me take care of those. And I think that's just an awesome illustration that he's willing. He's standing in front of you. He's reaching out to grab those cases from you because he doesn't want you to walk around life dragging your problems and your concerns with them.
Yeah, we sang a song a couple Wednesdays ago that was called, and there was a line in the song that said, anxiety hates Psalm 23. And I think that was a really powerful reminder of the truth that, you know, fear of blank is answered by scripture. And so shout out to Mackenzie for leading that song.
Oh, she did an awesome job.
So today we're talking about the fear of the unknown, and we're looking at this idea that oftentimes is rooted with control, but is a little bit different too. It's this idea that we get scared, worried, anxious when we don't know the future, when we don't know, because not knowing is not fun. Right. Nobody likes being surprised, especially when you're in maybe a leadership position somewhere, because it can make you look bad or it can make you look it could catch you off guard. Right. And so we like to stay up to date with the information, with the news. But we also live in a society where we can stay overly up to date. And so sometimes the fear isn't the unknown. It's the what do we not know because of what we know, you know? And so that's an interesting thing that we kind of have to wrestle with is like, do we know too much? And so now when we don't know something, it's a problem, or do we not know enough? And so now when we don't know something, it's a problem. What do you think it is in our modern day?
Well, what I'm thinking is there a reason God don't let us know everything?
Yeah.
I mean, is there? Because if we did know everything, where would the faith that he is taking care of all this stuff? So I think it's designed that way that we're not supposed to know everything. I just think that we just need to have that faith that he does and he has our perfect will, you know, in line of with our life. So I don't think that we're supposed to know everything.
Yeah.
And that's kind of hard to say for a lot of people that may be going through certain things, but you know, maybe later you will know. But yeah. Right now you just, I think it's more of a faith builder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And obviously Jesus spoke to that on the Sermon on the Mount. And that was kind of our primary text this past week was Matthew 6. It was Luke 12. We looked at the Sermon on the Mount and Luke, not Matthew, but you can find a very similar account in Matthew 6. But Luke 12, Jesus is speaking before his disciples and he says, don't worry about your life. Simple as that, right? That's it. That's all we had to take in. We're done. See you later on the next episode. No, we're here because we are not very good about not worrying about our lives. And he says, don't worry about your life, whether you eat or drink, or your body, what you will wear, for life is more than food and body, more than clothing. And then he gives us three examples of wildlife, nature that does not worry. The ravens, the wildflowers, and talks about the clothes on the grass. And so, very easy subject to address. Don't worry about your life, right? Tell me a little bit from what you took or what you learned, or maybe some notes that you took that you found interesting from Luke chapter 12 in our conversation.
Well, I think I want to bring out two words, worry and concerned. I think we should be concerned, but not worried. I think when we worry, that is a sin. You know, the Bible says, don't worry, but we still need to be concerned. But in that concern, let's pray about our problem or whatever we're worried about. And I think we need to separate those, because if you have an issue out there that's, you know, oh, I ain't worried about it. Well, no, there's some issues we do too, like sicknesses and stuff like that. People getting better. Don't worry about them being sick. Be concerned, and in your concern, pray for them or help them in whatever you can. So I'd like to just twist it. Instead of worry, let's just be concerned.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about
And how
that.
Does concern, I guess, in your experience in life, and what you've walked through, prayed through, worked through, lived through, how do we make sure that concern doesn't become sinful?
I think it's all where you're directing your concern to. I mean, it all starts with faith that, you know, this person, let's just use the example of a person that's sick. Instead of worrying, we're going to be concerned and we're going to pray for them. Well, at that point, you know, you got to look at it. If it's God's will that they pass away or they don't, I can't control that. You know, we just talked about control last week. Yeah. That is in God's hand. So let's be concerned with what their needs are at that point. And I think worrying is more or less sitting around not doing anything except in our mind.
Yeah.
Where when we're concerned about somebody, let's put God first. And then it comes from the heart that, hey, I'm concerned about this person. Let me do this. Let me do that. I'll pray, whatever. But I think the outcome is God knows best. God has designed everything perfect. So that's where we got to go down that road with. I have faith that God knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And a lot of people take, you know, Romans 8, 28, 29, 30, which says, you know, we believe that the Lord says that I'll work all things together for your good. I think, and they forget the part that says to be conformed in the image of Christ. And what is being conformed in the image of Christ? What did Christ do? Well, he suffered. He went to the cross. He was whipped. He was given a crown of thorns. Being conformed to the image of Christ is going to hurt, unfortunately, right? And that's the hard part about life, is that as we become more like Jesus, we know where to go to in our worry, but it doesn't take, or we know where to go to in our concern, but it doesn't take the pain away. He's just with us in those moments. I think that gives us a lot of hope, right? And faith.
And Jesus did a lot of praying when he was
here. Yeah, you know, absolutely. And, you know, Jesus spoke. He said, can you add any moment to your lifespan by worrying? If then you're not able to do even a little thing, why worry about the rest? You know, and he says, consider how the wildfires will grow. They don't labor or spin. Yet I will tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. I think, one, he's talking about groups, ravens, wildflowers, grass, that people just like notice but pass by. You know, the ravens were also like the least of these, and so like he was showing how much he cared. And then he goes on and says, don't be afraid, little flock, because your Father delights to give you the kingdom. I mean, ultimately the Christian's hope is that we have the kingdom of God. Like, that's the hope, that's the hope that we hold on to. And so no matter the taste of the kingdom that we get here on earth, it's ultimately what the Lord gives us in heaven. That is our promise. And I think that that's a perspective shift that we need to make, especially when we're struggling maybe with the fear of the unknown, is like, well, do we really not know? And the answer is no, we know. We know the truth. We know that the hope of the Christian is in heaven. And so no matter what the unknown is, that's our hope.
All right. And, you know, we got to embrace that. And that sometimes that's hard to have that faith and that trust in God, just like these, he's talking about, don't worry about what you're eating and the ravens and all that. Those are birds, you know, and he supplies them everything they need. Why wouldn't he surprise? I mean, why wouldn't he take care of his greatest creation, which is us?
Yeah.
And
the one after his own image, right?
Right.
Made in his image, his own heart.
That he made with his hands instead of spoke into existence, mm-hmm. that he's taking care of all this other stuff. You know, you read Job talking about it. You know, if you, the end of Job talks about all the laws. Yeah,
Job 42:2 says that I know that all things that you do cannot be stopped, right? I know that you are God and nothing you do can be stopped.
Yeah, and he's talking about where does the wind come from? Mm-hmm. Who forms the drop of dew on the grass? You know, this is our God. He knows he's doing all this every day that we don't even think about. Mm-hmm. So for him, for us to think that he wouldn't take care of us when he says he's going to take care of us, it's just, it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the first point that we talked about. Worry is rooted in distrust, right? Yeah. Ultimately, it comes down to the fact that while the unknown is scary, right? And there are natural realities of the world that when we thirst, we look for water. When we hunger, we look for food. You know, there are times that when we don't have those within reach, we start to be concerned. Concern's natural. We talked about that. But if we're not careful, that concern can shift, can quickly shift. And wisdom now becomes about control. Well, because I didn't have that immediately, God's not good, right? And I think that there's a difference between God's timing and our timing, because God's outside of time, right? And we love predictability. I don't know about you, but I'm a big, like, I like patterns. I like rhythm. I like, you know, having big on that. You know, that's what they teach you about having kids, is to get them into a routine. Routines are helpful. Everybody likes a good routine because it's predictable. But the unknown teaches us faith, right? It teaches us that when something happens that we don't know, didn't expect, surprises us, God's still in control. And routines are great. And I think routines have their place and their purpose and their time. But Jesus starts out with this fundamental truth that God doesn't necessarily care about our comfort. He cares about our faith.
Right.
And so what do you think about that idea that God doesn't care about our comfort?
I think he wants us uncomfortable, because once we start getting comfortable, we start getting lazy. We start, you know, I think that we need to stay uncomfortable because that keeps us active. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going back to worrying, there's an old expression in the South, worry didn't ever fix anything.
Yep.
You know, so, you know, it takes a lot of time. It takes, you know, when you start worrying, it takes you away from God. You know, and out of that control situation and stuff. But sometimes let's just embrace it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's hard.
No, it is.
But it's hard to say, you know, and it's hard to actually do it. But let's embrace it, because if we're not in control, or, you know, all this is from God.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think back to a conversation that I had with a student on the mission trip that first night. This young man came up to me. There was a lot of young men on this trip. So if this is you, you know who you are, but I'm not saying your name. But he came up to me and he was like, man, I don't know, this wasn't what I was expected it to be. And I looked at him and I said, give me 48 hours. And if 48 hours, you don't feel like that this is where you need to be, we'll figure out how to get you home. 48 hours later, his whole attitude had changed, because, you know, the discomfort kind of faded away and he realized, hey, I can embrace this. So good job, young man. Maybe we'll have you on the podcast. You know who you are.
But going to that uncomfortable, there was 90% of my week there, I was uncomfortable.
Yeah, me
because
too.
We didn't have beds. We, you know, the work.
The showers got cold.
The showers were cold. One day it'd be hot, one day it'd be cold. Everything was uncomfortable, but the joy I got out of doing God's work was amazing.
And the growth that we saw in our students was incredible.
Yeah, you know? I didn't dwell on, it was awful. It was, you know, I wasn't comfortable. I dwelled on, look at what we've done. Look what we progressed with these different mission things, you know, the programs and the garden and all that we helped somebody else. And that will always overpower our comfort.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, serving the Lord, right? The Lord gives you the strength that you need to endure the tasks that he's given you. That doesn't mean that it's always going to be painless, but it just means that he's going to give you the strength through his Spirit. And that's what, you know, the second point was about. We don't have to worry about the unknown because God already knows. And it goes back to the control. God's already in control. So why do we worry about control? God already knows. So why do we, why do we worry? Right. This is the character of God is that he's omniscient, meaning that he knows all things. That means nothing surprises God. And that should give us a lot of hope because nothing we do will surprise God. Nothing that happens to us will surprise God. Now, does that mean that God affirms everything that happens? Absolutely not. No, but there are times where God allows things to happen for us to be taught, for us to be trained in faithfulness.
Prepare us for the future, you know, things that we may go through.
But, you know, I think of situations of like, you know, challenging or abusive situations that young people can be in. God is, you know, God is working in that. And he is the one who is not only all knowing, but also all just. And he will provide the justice that you may never get here on earth. And that's, well, that's really difficult to understand. And we hope that, you know, if that were somebody's situation, that they would find the people to help them. But God is also all just. And all these characters are not just like little bits and pieces of God. God is 100% every single one of these. And I think that gives us a lot of hope.
And it really does. You know, just reading through scripture, and he always tells us to, you know, don't worry, don't be afraid. Isn't it don't worry in the Bible 365 times?
I'm not certain exactly the number, but there's a lot of mentions.
It's
about
like
that.
One for every day of the year. So he's telling you all the time. And what I'm just trying to say is don't carry that around. Give it to him. You know, even if you don't know, if you're not in control, just let him have it because he's asking for it. He's asked plenty of times, put it at my feet. My yoke is easy.
Yeah.
You know,
my burden's light. I love church history. And one of the things that I mention in our teaching is that Thomas Aquinas spoke of this quite a bit. And he was a medieval theologian. And he said that God is the cause of all knowledge, not the effect. And I think that's a right order, right? God is the cause of all knowledge. God doesn't learn from the world. He's not informed by creation. Creation exists because God knows. God's knowledge is not reactive. It's causative, meaning he's the cause of all knowledge, of all hope. And so the unknown is often more of a test of faithfulness because God already knows. He's the one that is the cause, right? And because he's the cause, and what exists exists in the infinite and eternal mind of God. So really, I think part of this comes back to, and this is the last point of like, our focus will transform our future. And when we worry about the unknown and let it kind of eat us up, when we live in a fear of the unknown, right? When it becomes like the walls closing in moment for us, it's often because we don't have enough. We may have enough knowledge about God, but our faith about God is missing, right? We're not focused enough on who God is. We're wearing the wrong glasses is the illustration that I used. And I think there's not anything in our own strength that we can do to dig us out of the hole of worry of the unknown. It is just trusting in the Lord and building our trust. It goes back to the surrender thing that we talked about in the last episode. But trust in the Lord, right? Proverbs 3, lean not on your own understanding. And I think that's really true because God is the cause of all understanding, of all knowledge, of all wisdom. And if he's the cause of all of it, if he is the one who doesn't learn from the world, but is informs his creation, then how good of a God is that? She's the greatest in the world, you know?
Right. And, you know, to go back, Fear or Not series and everything, we've talked about rejection, control, unknown. And then we're going to get into the failure, fear of failure, and not good enough. All these things, if you read through the headlines of what you're the next 5 weeks, or I guess all these 5 weeks, we're halfway through, but it's almost like we're causing this.
Yeah.
God never says that we're rejected. He never says, you know, I mean,
that's a great point, right? You know, he's not the one who says, it's a sin in our hearts.
Yeah. It's not giving God what he's owed. Yeah.
And what does God want us to have, right? God says, the Father delights to give you the kingdom, you know? And I think that he loves sharing his possession with us. And one of the points that I make is that there is no other God, no other deity, divine being out there that wants to share their possessions with their people,
right?
I mean, you can list off all the gods, potential, you know, possible gods that people are out there, and none of them want to share their deity. Their people are being called to give so that God has a better power. But our God's the one that says, that delights in giving us the kingdom.
Yeah. It's love. You know, a lot of, you know, what you're talking about is not based off of love. God is love. Mm-hmm. And everything is based off of sharing things with you, helping you out, you know, going through different situations, but there's always that love. And, you know, when we're rejected, we're not loved. When we lose control, it's not love. You know, unknown, it's not love. I mean, he's given us all this, but I just don't know. I just happened to think about that. Of all this, we create this. This is not from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see any love in none of these headlines coming from him.
Yeah.
This is something we thought up of along the way. It's like, hey, God, you know, I don't know if you're willing to do this or that, or, you know, whatever we need. We just got to have that faith that he is there for us at all times.
It goes back to that fear of rejection that we talked about. Fear was associated with sin, right? Like week one, we said, you know, fear entered when sin entered, because before that, the only fear that existed was the healthy fear of God is all powerful, all knowing, all providing. Let's honor and worship him, right? We don't get a lot of that account in Genesis, but I think that it's present. But then Adam and Eve sin and they run from God. They're scared, right? Because their eyes have been opened. So I wonder, and this is something we may not have all the time for, but I wonder if the eyes being opened, the fullness of knowledge, was not necessarily God withholding anything, but God protecting from the possibility of fear, because of that future or that lack of knowledge. But like, it's like a parent who holds, you know, knows the answer. They put their kid in the car, they drive them to the location. The kid asks, where are we going? You know, tell them once, tell them twice, however many times, but they trust that that's where you're going. And that almost feels like what the garden probably was like, hey, there's just trust in God that's parental, right? He is the Father. And so when that trust was broken by sin and fear entered, it was like, I don't trust God fully anymore. Like, I'm scared of him and his presence. What do you think in terms of fear and sin and the, like a side-by-side nature of which those came in? Like, is our instincts to like run from a lion part of that fear that came in the garden?
I think our fleshly instincts are that way, you know, because our flesh is sin, you know, I kind of see where you're going with that. This is something, like I was saying, that we've come up with. You know, God didn't bring this in on Adam or Eve, but through the time, it's like, hey, it's almost like, what can I do to get away from God, or get a little bit?
Yeah, that's a really good point.
A little more separation.
Yeah, the distance from the Lord, right? And he's trying to bridge the gap. And that's, I think, what we're trying to show in this is like, when, like the first week when we talked about Psalm 118, he takes us to a spacious place. It's like the walls are closing in, but God's like, no, here, right, here's here, the big room, right. You know?
So yeah, it's kind of like that, where we think of all this stuff up. We think more than we probably should. I think thinking gets us in trouble. You know, it's almost like sin when we think on ourselves or thinking about something by ourselves without praying and all that. But it's that separation. I think everything we come up with, it's kind of like, hey, this right here will get me a little bit close, a little bit further away. And it's almost like the light and dark.
Yeah.
Because when you're doing wrong, it's nice to be in the dark.
Yeah. You know? Why? Well, I guess my question is like, why is that so appealing? Right. Why?
Right.
Yeah. Why isn't what God's wanting to give us more appealing than what the lies that we give into. Right. Right. You know, and that's, I just still don't know the answer to that, but
I think it's, you've got to get deep inside yourself. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't want to dive deep into their self because, me included, we got a lot of stuff in our closet that we don't want to air, you know, air out dirty laundry type thing. And you don't want to talk about it. It's easier to keep it inside. And I think that's part of it. Yeah. You don't want to come full circle with, here, this is who I am. Then you start going, well, hey, are they going to like me?
Yeah.
Are they going to like me?
Rejection.
What?
Fear of rejection. There we go. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, what if I don't fit in with this group now because of what I've said or, you know, just come true. Yeah. So I think that's a lot of, you know, the part of it is we don't want to come completely out.
Yeah, man. What an interesting discussion. I think that's really important to understanding a little bit more about who God is and who we are in light of him. I mean, it just shows us our emptiness, but it also shows where God fills that emptiness, you know, and Jesus lived that perfect life. He had no fear of rejection because he was rejected. He had no fear of lost control because he trusted the Lord and knew the story. He had no fear of the unknown because he did know. As we continue on, he has no fear of failure because he was perfect, and fear of not being good enough comes to this point of, you know, God, Jesus didn't have to worry about not being good enough. And through Jesus, we don't have to worry about that either. So looking forward to some future discussion about some of those things. We get to talk a little bit about Romans and Ephesians, which are some really interesting topics. Yeah. And so we'll catch you next week on the Halfway There podcast. We're grateful for you listening, tuning in. Brian, thanks again for all the time and appreciate having the conversations with you.
Thank you. Have a blessed day.